I've been struck in this rereading of Philippians, the number of references to partnership. And so I started looking further into koinonia and what it means and how it, first of all, I didn't realize it was actually being translated from the term koinonia. And then I thought it would be good to focus on that. My own history with partnership, though, is with Mennonite Mission Network. We, as an organization, when we moved from being Mennonite Board of Missions to Mennonite Mission Network, we were already in the process of changing our basic understanding of how we worked as a mission agency. And what I mean by that is that with the language of the name Mennonite Board of Missions, that carried with it a notion that this board is the center, is the important piece, right? So it's Mennonite, it's board, and it's mission. And that increasingly through the late 80s and 90s began to be no longer a relevant term. And so when they changed the Mennonite Mission Network, the intention was that it emphasizes that this is a network not only in the U.S., a number of different conferences and congregations, etc., but also that its relationship to ministries around the world was one of partnerships. And so we were networking these various partnerships around the world. And so, as I've said before, I worked with in about 20 different countries. It fluctuated frequently enough, but I related to partner engagements in 20 different countries. And in the Africa piece of that ministry, many of our relationships were mediated through Africa Inter-Mennonite Mission. And Africa Inter-Mennonite Mission was also struggling with its identity. And so in the late 90s, early 2000s, we did a self-study and looked at the organizational structure. And one of the things that became very clear is that in Africa Inter-Mennonite Mission, even though it didn't have the term board or anything like that, the decision-making power wasn't in Africa. The decision-making power was in this Inter-Mennonite Mission, which meant which actually in practice was five different Mennonite denominations in the U.S. And so there's a strong sense for me that that name was kind of deceptive, because it was a North American Mennonite mission, a group of missions focusing on work in Africa. The decisions were made in North America, and they were carried out in Africa. And the system that they had through the 90s, and this is just a caricature because it wasn't as bad as it sounds, they made decisions and they sent those decisions to the mission workers in Africa, and then those decisions were communicated to the mission partners. So we didn't use the term partner in AIMM, but they were effectively partner. And in 2003, after doing the self-study, we embraced a thing called Partnership Africa. And so what we did over the next 20 years was slowly but surely transfer the decision-making party or power to the an African council, and that African council now makes the decisions on ministries, partnership relationships, and all of that business. So what we did is we shifted the decision-making power and locus, so the meetings take place in Africa, they're directed by Africans, and it's primarily Africans that benefit from those things. However, the majority of the funding still comes from several different denominations, Mennonite denominations in the U.S. So I give that example simply to say that for me, partnership in a lot of ways had a fairly sort of the form of a kind of a legal agreement. And so for me, it's been refreshing in looking at Philippians and digging deeper into what Paul's talking about here to not only reconnect partnership as a term to koinonia in the Bible, but also to broaden how I want to refer to partnership. In a simple look at the term koinonia, it focuses on a few different things. Well, first of all, is anybody very familiar at all with the term koinonia? Okay. Well, it's a Greek term, and Anabaptists use the term mainly to communicate about our fellowship. Fellowship and communion, actually, is a part of that. But it's also used when we look at these different readings here, the partnership in the gospel, partners in God's grace, and so partnering and partnership. But then in verse 27, it talks about striving side by side. So there it's carrying a sense of ministry together. And then in 2:22, it adds another dimension that talks about just service together. And then later it's used in chapter 3, verse 17. It's used in terms of imitation. So it's sort of used in terms of discipleship there. And then in chapter 15, it's used in relation to giving and receiving. So as we try to hold this together, this notion of koinonia, as a broad term that refers to both fellowship and communion, and also it refers to sharing, participation in common, and it also is often translated as partnership. In thinking about this, it strikes me the way that Paul uses the term, embraces the term, and deepens the term koinonia to hold things to, like, koinos is the root, I think, of it. Here, if in the Greek dictionary, it looks at it and it says, Koinonia from partnership, that's the literal meaning, or partnership or intercourse, as in exchange, conversation, or in terms of benefaction, to communicate, communion, distribute, distribution, and fellowship. So in Acts, we find the term that they were all together and held everything in common. That's where we've heard the term koinonia initially. So it's this notion of close communion together. Now, what Paul does in using it in this context of Philippians, he is emphasizing how this partnership is both for the advancing of the gospel, or not both for, it's for the advancing of the gospel, it's for our communion together, our fellowship together, and it's for holding things in common, participating together in ministry. So it's kind of interesting to me that Paul, in the phrase that you partake in God's grace with me, and that's also koinonia he's using it for. So I don't know if he's expanding the use of the term or what, but he definitely has a broad sense of what koinonia means. And that has pushed me to think about how we think of how we are engaged in ministry together as a church. We have a number of places. We were just talking in the adult Sunday school a little bit about the prayer meeting on Tuesdays that Twyla Brunk leads or participates in, and how that is a consistent witness in the community, in the school community, where people come, children and parents get used to the fact that on Tuesdays, if we come, if we've got something we need prayer about, we can write it down and share that, and they will pray for us. And so that's a kind of koinonia, that's a kind of partnership that is not formal in the sense of a contract, but it's formal in the sense of they can rely on that being there, and it's part of their set of expectations. And that got me thinking more earlier, not just this morning, but got me thinking about what are some of the other partnerships that we engage in. One that comes to mind is in relation to Thrive. That's one where we have an informal relation. Is it formal at all? Or is it just, I mean, people volunteer service, people give gifts of food and items and so forth. So it's an informal arrangement, but it is a partnership for feeding the community, bringing peace to people. So it is a partnership that advances the gospel. What about, how do we think about the Seventh-day Adventist group, the relationship there? I don't ever see them. I don't know if any of you all see them. But we have contracted them to use space here. And so they have the chapel and they have this room, the classroom. So those two spaces they use, and they are using that space for the advance of the gospel, for being the church together. And so that's another thing that we could include in terms of a kind of communion that makes space for the gospel. The thing that's lacking there is that we are not in communion with them. Just as we are not really very much in communion with the school anymore. And the thing that for me is significant in that is that going back to the AIMM illustration, back when we were transitioning from the direct mission involvement through workers to a partnership agreement, the thing that we struggled with the most was the fact that we thought, as an agency, that we owned these ministries. But recognizing them as full partners meant that we had to let go of decision-making power. That meant we had to let go of our sense of direct ownership. And it seems to me that that's part of what's happening here, is that in the past, 10 years ago, the school was formally owned by the church. And in these last years, it's transitioned to be on its own status. The problem is, though, that we don't really have any kind of formalized relationship there, in a sense. I sign a paper once a year saying that they are related to the church, to the congregation, but it's not really a very active relationship other than through, well, Pat used to work there, and Twyla and the prayer meetings and so forth. Those are aspects of it, but we're less and less involved with them directly. And Mary Dawn, yes, that's the other thing I was going to add, is that the one thing that's been very encouraging to me is that we now have that formal link through Mary Dawn. And she reports back to us. We have this little fundraiser piece from them for these purchasing of seeds. And but the thing is, you know, there is more that we could do in our relationship with them. So anyway, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was that with Threads Together as well or not?
No, that was more,
they just asked.
They came to me.
Okay. On the conception of it and the development. Yeah, great. Great. I wasn't aware of that. And but Threads Together is another place. There it's a partnership with MCC and
SBA in that the Eureka from SBA comes to Threads Together. Not every time, but
okay, yes, right.
She's been a big help.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the relational connections that was made in moving towards signing an agreement with them for the space. So we have a bunch of different partnerships, and we are shifting our self-understanding away from ownership of ministries to participation with ministries. And as I was talking with Dorothy about this, she, and saying, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with some things in this, and she said, I asked her to write it down and send it to me. She said, you know, whenever you give financially or physically to an organization, you are in partnership with them. for the gospel. Eastern Virginia Mennonite Mission, we're in partnership with them. MCUSA, we're in partnership with them through our giving, but through our broader relationship as well. You are in partnership with the gospel, even with your spouse, when you support each other spiritually. So partnership takes all kinds of layers. She said, you could also say, you're in partnership for the gospel with a friend with whom you give and receive spiritual support. That was the other thing that in one of the passages, it was Paul talking about in the giving and receiving, we are. That was a partnership-based word. So as we have many ways that we're engaged in partnership, that we already are, and I didn't notice this till now, even here it says Warwick River Christian in partnership with the Gardener's Workshop. So they're using the term not in the context of faith, but they are using it in the terms in inviting partnership with the school. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying that Paul encourages us and pushes us, in a sense, to validate the different ways that we are actively involved in advancing the gospel through different relationships. And we can embrace those as partnerships, and we can embrace them as part of our ministry. And that is part of our intuitive foundation in this place. And so it's not as though we're starting over. As we think about in council meeting this week, we talk about that farm market. Does that relate to the advance of the gospel in the area? Perhaps it does. We have to look at that. Same thing with, there was one other thing we were going to look at. Oh, no, that third space. That's another thing. But the different ways that we use our space together, we partner with others to advance that koinonia. And I guess I'll leave it at that.